Catherine, of course, had done her usual magic with our faces. The next morning, the Post appeared on the streets about an hour later than usual, and home subscribers missed their papers altogether since the early editions had been skipped. But the Post was otherwise apparently none the worse for wear. We had substantially damaged only one press with our bomb and smoked things up a bit with our incendiary grenades, one of which set a barrel of ink afire. But the Post had lost virtually none of its capacity for spreading its lies and venom as a result of our efforts. We were quite chagrined by this outcome. It became clear to us that we had foolishly taken a risk far out of proportion to any advantage which could have been reasonably expected. We have resolved that, in the future, we will undertake no mission on our own initiative until we have carefully evaluated its objective and convinced ourselves that it is worth the risk. We cannot afford to strike the system simply for the sake of striking, or we will become like an army of gnats trying to bite an elephant to death. Each blow must be carefully calculated for its effect. Henry's idea of attacking the Post's newsroom and editorial offices seems much better in retrospect. We should have held off for a few days in order to work out a sound plan, which would have really crippled the Post, instead of rushing into our half-assed raid on its presses. All we really succeeded in doing was putting the Post on guard and making any future raids much more hazardous. We did redeem ourselves a bit the morning after the raid, however. Surmising that the editorial staff had spent most of the night in their offices writing new copy about the events of the evening, and would therefore be at home sleeping late, we decided to pay one of them a visit. After looking over the newspaper, we settled on the editorial page editor, who had written a particularly vicious editorial against us. His words dripped with Talmudic hatred. "Racists like us," he said, "deserve no consideration from the police or any decent citizen. We should be shot down on sight like mad dogs." Quite a contrast with his usual solicitude for black rapists and murderers and his tirades against police brutality and overreaction. Since his editorial was an incitement to murder, it seemed to us only appropriate that he be given a taste of his own remedy. Henry and I rode a bus downtown and then waved down a taxi with a black driver. By the time we pulled up in the editor's driveway in Silver Spring, the black was in the trunk, dead. I waited in the taxi while Henry rang the bell and told the woman who answered that he was delivering a package from the Post and needed a signed receipt. When the sleepy-eyed editor appeared at the door in his bathrobe a few moments later, Henry literally blew him in half with two blasts from the sawed-off shotgun he had been carrying under his jacket. On Wednesday, all four of us, Catherine drove the car, completely destroyed the Washington area's most powerful television transmitter. That one was hairy, and there were moments when I didn't think we were going to get away. It's still not clear what effect all our activity is having on the general public. For the most part, they are just going about their affairs as they always have. There have been effects, though. The National Guards of a dozen states have been called up to reinforce local police forces, and there are now large, around-the-clock guard details stationed outside every government building in Washington, the major media offices in a number of cities, and the homes of hundreds of government officials. Within a week, I suspect, every congressman, every federal judge, and every federal bureaucrat from the assistant secretary level on up will have been assigned a permanent bodyguard detail. All the sandbags, machine guns, and khaki uniforms that one is beginning to see everywhere in Washington cannot help but raise the consciousness of the public, although I'm sure the situation is much less dramatic out in Iowa than it is here. Our biggest difficulty is that the public sees us and everything we do only through the media. We are able to make ourselves enough of a nuisance that the media can't afford to ignore or belittle us, and so they are using the opposite tactic of deluging the public with distortions, half-truths, and lies about us. For the last 2 weeks, they've been giving us a non-stop roasting, trying to convince everyone that we are the incarnation of evil, a threat to everything decent, noble, and worthwhile. They have unleashed the full power of the mass media on us. Not just the usual biased news treatments, but long background articles in the Sunday supplements, complete with faked photographs of organization meetings and activities, discussions by experts on TV panel shows, everything. Some of the stories they've invented about us are really incredible, but I'm afraid the American public is just gullible enough to believe them. What's happening now is reminiscent of the media campaign against Hitler and the Germans back in the 1940s. Stories about Hitler flying into rages and chewing carpets, phony German plans for the invasion of America, babies being skinned alive to make lampshades and then boiled down into soap, girls kidnapped and sent to Nazi stud farms. The Jews convinced the American people that those stories were true, and the result was World War II, with millions of the best of our race butchered by us, and all of Eastern and Central Europe turned into a huge communist prison camp. Now it looks very much like the system has again made the deliberate decision to build up a state of war hysteria in the public by representing us as an even bigger threat than we really are. We are the new Germans, and the country is being wound up psychologically to lick us. Thus, the system is cooperating more fully than we could have imagined in arousing the public's consciousness of our struggle. What's unnerving about it is my strong suspicion that the top echelons in the system aren't really that worried about our threat to them and are cynically using us as an excuse for carrying through certain programs of their own, such as the Internal Passport Program.